Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I wish I could say I'm looking out across the church pews and I can see your faces. When I share, I love to look out and see your faces, and this morning that's not happening. I know we're together in spirit this morning, and that's good. So we can still worship together. I do invite you to use your Bibles this morning. We're going to be going to a scripture I'll share with you here in a bit. But I've titled my message this morning, Peace in the Midst of Struggle. We're at home right now throughout this time we call quarantine. Not a fun time. A difficult time for some of us. A good time for some others. And maybe a mixed time for some of us. We look at the news, for those of us who have social media, we look at the news and we see all kinds of negativity coming out of this. We have one side, we have the other side. And it's kind of hard this morning to know how to balance this out. I'm not here this morning to talk politics. I'm not interested in that. But I'd rather invest my time this morning in talking a bit about the peace that God gives us, and to see how He operates in our lives when we come into a time that's difficult. What kind of brought this message on is as I was going through the first couple of days of quarantine, of being at home, they were kind of exciting days. I had time to work outside. The sun was shining. I had time to work in the flower beds. And that was good. Kind of like therapy to me. I had time to work in my shop. And that was good. But I found out a couple of weeks into this quarantine time, I had one evening where things kind of started going negative on me. And I really struggled with it. The next day was a very negative day. A lot of discouragement. And probably because for me, I'm a guy that loves to find, I find satisfaction, I find fulfillment in working. I come home from work normally from the factory, and I've got to go outside. I've got to do something. I got to get into the shop and either do some work there. I need to do something out in the yard or do something in the house. And that brings me fulfillment. And maybe it's something I really need to work on. But I realized those couple of days there that I was really discouraged. And I spent time praying and trying to work through this thing. And I found some scriptures that really brought me encouragement. And I want to share those scriptures with you here this morning. If I can get my computer to function here. Okay. Anyhow, so this morning I'm not here to try to bring us any conclusions on our political life right now. But there's a verse in John 14:27 that I'd like to begin with this morning. This verse says, "Peace I leave with you." And this was Jesus just before he left. He had promised to them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And then he told them, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I found so much comfort in that verse, realizing that the Holy Spirit is given to us. In this we find peace. We find that our hearts aren't troubled. There's no fear. Fear has been a huge thing in this whole picture of the quarantine. So many people that we've met that are fearing. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." So this is just a challenge, I guess, for us this morning. I know there's a lot of you out there this morning that maybe this quarantine, it doesn't affect you. Maybe you're a farmer. The crops still have to be put in. You can stay busy. Maybe you're doing some kind of construction. Maybe you're a factory worker that you are laid off and you have to find something else to do. So this is encouragement this morning, I guess, for each one of us. I'd like for us this morning to turn in our Bibles to Lamentations. And we're going to look in chapter 3, a few verses that Jeremiah here shares with us. Lamentations 3, Jeremiah was going through a difficult time. This is right after the Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah says this in Lamentations 3, verse 19 and 20. He says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Jeremiah was remembering here about the affliction that he had, the misery that he'd gone through. And when he talks about the wormwood and the gall, it's almost like there's a sense of bitterness that Jeremiah is facing, that he's working through. He said, "I still remember those," in verse 20. He still remembers those, and it brings a humility or a heavy weight on him when he thinks about those. He hadn't forgotten this struggle. But I don't want to stay there. I want us to go to verse 21 here. And here begins some very positive things that Jeremiah saw. He said, "This I call to my mind, therefore I have hope." Now he says, "I'm remembering." There's something I remember. We'll look at that in just a little bit. But he says, "Therefore I have hope." Across the road from us is a bank over here. And since this quarantine started, they put some big letters on the front of the window. And these letters spell out hope. H-O-P-E, hope. An expectancy for better times. And that's kind of where a lot of us are right now. We have hope. And we're talking about in our world today. And I'm not talking so much about a spiritual hope right now. I'm talking about a hope that things are going to get better. But then when we turn that to a spiritual view, it's a beautiful thing for us because as a believer, we have a living hope. And maybe we can see that a little bit more here after a while. We'll get into this a little bit more. But it says in verse 22, this is what he remembers. He says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Mercy, we talk about mercy, not receiving what I deserve. God's mercy, and if we think about that in each one of our lives, we see it all the time. God's mercy, how much he loves us. I had to think about a time, and I might have shared this story before, but I had to think about a time we went to Chicago with the youth group, and somebody convinced us to get into the elevator to go down into the coal mine. So we packed into the elevator. It was shoulder to shoulder. It was tight. It was hot, and the doors closed, and it was dark. I have never struggled with claustrophobia until that day. And it got really dark. As the elevator began to descend, it got really dark. And I knew I needed out. But there was a sliver of light up in the corner of that elevator that showed itself. And when I saw that sliver of light, immediately, I was okay. And I had to think about that as God's mercy. As a sliver of light, when things are difficult for us, all of a sudden, we see that tiny sliver of light come in, and we know we're good because God's mercy is there for us. He says, because his compassions fail not. I have to think about his mercies. They're not based on my goodness, but his mercies are based on his steadfast character, his goodness to us. That was a challenge to me as I thought about that. Sometimes I have the idea that, yeah, I'm so good that God is going to be merciful to me. No, it's not that way. But it's because of who God is. When the children of Israel, they were in the land of Egypt, and Moses had come to be their deliverer, there was a night when Moses said, "Now tonight I want you to sacrifice a lamb." We call this the Passover. "I want you to sacrifice a lamb. I want you to collect the blood. And I want you to take that blood, and I want you to put it on your doorposts on the sides, and I want you to put above the door on the lintel. And this is a sign for the death angel when he comes in to pass over you. The verse says in Exodus 12:22, and it says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." He says, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Now, I'm not referring to our quarantine here today when I read that. But I want us to think about something. He said they are to stay inside that night. And that, to me, gives me a picture of security. Because of God's mercy, because of his compassion, his love, he told them, I want you to stay inside. Because that's where you're going to be safe. A beautiful picture for the future where Jesus was going to come and shed his blood for us. And we take that blood, he takes that blood, and he puts it on the doorposts of our heart. And we stay within the fold, and we're safe. We're secure. His mercy, his unfailing love, his compassion is there for us. God's compassion, his mercy never fails, but mine does. Every so often I get short-tempered, I get grumpy, I get frustrated. Sometimes we need to just stop and take a breather. See, we have the idea so many times that as believers, we give our heart to the Lord, and we get to the top of the wave when we ride the top of the wave. That's how the Christian life is. But if we begin reading throughout Scripture, we find out that not all of Christian life is riding the top of the wave. Sometimes there are struggles. Sometimes there's quarantines. And we find that the top of the wave is not always a place that we're at. I want us to picture this mercy this morning. I want us to think about Jesus standing there with his arms wide open, asking us to come close. He's standing there with a smile on his face, and he welcomes us close to him. We also realize that there is a part of Jesus that is a part of the Christian walk that is judgment. But I find out that the judgment that's there is a righteous judgment. And the judgment that's there is because we've transgressed. And even in that, Jesus offers us to come back and to repent. And his arms are still open. And he draws us close because of his mercy, his compassion. And now we have to add grace to that, receiving what I don't deserve. We serve such a loving God, such a good God. He says in verse 23, he says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies, his love, it's new every morning. Sometimes I think I've probably used up all of God's mercy yesterday, so there's probably none there for me today. But he says, no, every morning there's a new supply of mercy, of compassion, of his goodness for us. It's there for tomorrow and the next tomorrow and as many tomorrows as we might face. His goodness, his love is there for us. He's faithful. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What a beautiful promise to us that he's always with us. Verse 23 there in Lamentations 3:24, it says, the Lord is my portion, my soul, saith my soul. Let me read that again. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. He's my portion. He's my inheritance. He's everything that I desire. And I have a hope in him. I'd like to read real quickly here through 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9, and I'm going to read this in the NLT. And I want you just to pay attention to these words as I read these and to realize who God really is and what he's offering us. He says in verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power, until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. And even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." What a beautiful promise that he gives to us there. We go to verse 25 there in Lamentations 3. And he says there, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And the idea here of waiting is an idea of an expectancy. It is to seek him. It's to strive for him. I just read in, I believe, in 1 Peter 2 about how we are to desire that sincere milk of the word, just like a baby desires that milk. They cry when they don't get it. How is it with me? Am I desiring what he has for me? Is there an expectancy there? Am I coming to him and seeking for him with my whole being? I had to think about this time that we're a lot slower than what we have been for a while. We have so much opportunity right now to spend more time in prayer, more time in reading, more time in seeking, and to draw closer to him. That's been a big challenge for me. I've got a lot of growing to do in that. But I think it'd be good for all of us to consider how are we doing in this? Am I prioritizing what is very, very important? One of the things I had to think about too is, as we have a little more time, maybe we could set some goals. Goals that will help us to draw closer to him. And those goals might be different for each one of us. But I'd like for you to think about that. What can I do during this time that will draw me closer to my Father? Verse 26 says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." We show confidence and we show trust as we hope and we quietly wait on him. I had to think about this quietness that he talks about here, or that I've just mentioned here, rather. In Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Be still. Take time to just come before him in quietness and allow him to share, to speak into your life as you read the word, as you spend time in prayer, as you sing. Be still and hear what he has to say. One of the beautiful things that I had to think about is that as I am still before the Father, I can relax and know that I'm in his care. So many things going on around us, and it's hard sometimes for us to relax. We're not in a spirit of fear. But yeah, there are questionable times in front of us here. And we don't want to dwell on that, but we know that we have a shepherd that is leading us. And he even says in Psalm 23, he said, "I shall not want." God providing for us. Every need we have supplied to honor and glorify him. So this morning, let's rest in the fact that God is merciful, He's compassionate, He's unfailing. And as He says in Isaiah, He knows each one of us by name. He knows who we are. Bonnie Carpenter shared something on our Calvary Chapel Facebook. And I'd like to share just a little bit here what she shared there. And I'm sorry, the devotional, I was going to see who did the devotional that she shared and give credit for that, but I can't remember that name. But one of the things that she shared in that short devotional had the idea of two things that have the power to change our perspective and our attitude in our life. And these two things are singing and memorizing Scripture. And that really spoke to me. Thank you, Bonnie, for sharing that. The idea that we can sing. I believe God delights in our singing, even if we can't carry a tune. He loves when we worship Him and praise Him in singing. And in memorizing Scripture, it's hard for us as we get older to memorize Scripture. But I found in this time that I can. I can memorize Scripture. And I believe you can too if you're willing to put yourself at that place and to invest the time. So let's set some new goals. Let's make some plans for the next couple weeks. I know our plans can be changed, but let's spiritually seek the Father and draw close to Him and to be still and to know that He is God. I want you, again, I just want to leave you with the verse that we began with. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So God bless you. I really wish I could be with you. I got to see one of my nephews the other day, and it almost brought tears to my eyes just to be able to see somebody from the congregation again. So it's going to be so good to be together again. But in the meantime, let's continue to walk and to serve. I'd like to close in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you again for this time that you've given us. Extra time, Lord, where we can actually draw closer to you. I pray that you would help each one of us to open our hearts, to realize, Lord, the mercy and the compassion that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek those things that are above, to set our minds and our hearts on you. There's so many things, Lord, that want to distract us right now, but I pray that you would help us to be set on growing closer to you. Thank you so much for our congregation, Lord. We ask your blessing on each one. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us and that we would have ears, Lord, that would hear and hearts that are willing to walk faithfully in the way you call us. We bless you. We honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.